you. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, listen, you gotta be kind of quiet, because I'm outside the room where somebody's sleeping. I just thought this would be a great way to start the show this morning. I walk by this calendar every day. Now, I probably flip my phone, but I don't want to mess it up, okay? So I want you to look what's over my shoulder here. Because we heard that somebody from, I got people sleeping around me. Somebody from Saudi Arabia was watching the show yesterday. Well, now look here, look. I want you guys to see this. This is hanging here in the church. Here is America. Stay with me. We'll walk back a little bit farther. Look at this map. Look. And look. New Zealand. Clear down there. That's where the Kiwis are. That's where Simon is. That's where our buddies down there. Look at this. Look how far away that is. Is that unbelievable? Holy, look here. Look, there's a Melungeon coming out. We're live and in color. Let me walk. Stay with me a second. Welcome. You're going to get a feedback here a second. Hang on a second. I'm going to shut up. All right. I'm trying to. There we go. I'm trying to turn the thing. There we go. Am I back? Okay, Jared. I'm going to shut this one off if I can figure out how to do it. That dude's gone. I'm back. There we go. Up and running here. Was that amazing? Was that map amazing? I looked at that thing. Tony and Simon and y'all down there. There we go. Okay, now, should I do another opening? I mean, we okay? Way open to show today? We're all kind of punch drunk. I sat beside Mark Trump. He's walking by me. We got into some stuff again last night. Folks, you talk about Chad, church camp for adults. I'm telling you. Now listen, we are working on, I can't impress, I'm moving something here a second. I can't impress this on you enough. You got to get to one of these things. You got to get to one of these things. Say one of what things, Coach? These church camp for adult things. Now, Trump, Mark Trump, and Anal Gary, we're looking at coming back down here again, probably early February. Mark your calendars now. Get it on the calendar. We're working on the logistics of how we're going to do it. We don't know. But there is so much work to be done. It's such great ministry. And the fellowship is, I'm just telling you, man. So as soon as we get it all firmed up. Hey, Mark, have you thought about when we're coming back?
February-ish.
Yeah. February-ish. First or second week of February. That's what we're thinking of. And just so you know, this
we're going to determine it around the equipment.
Yeah. Well, here's what we're going to do.
When you get equipment operators, we'll determine when they're available, and then see if we can get a.
Here's what we figured out. We have to do. We are so effective because of the equipment that we have with us. Don's brought his big John Deere tractor, and Craig has his little skid steer. But the truth is, we need probably 5, 6, 7 different pieces of machinery like that. We're gonna do it. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna bring, let's say we were to bring 8 pieces of machinery. You say, what? Coach, are you kidding me? Yeah, 8 pieces of machinery. We're gonna find guys who will come down here and do this. And then we think with 8 pieces of machinery, we put 5 people with every piece of machinery. So we're talking 40 people. We want 40 people to be able to, in early February, it's Florida, you come to Florida, there'll be plenty of work to do. So some of you out there scratching your head, we'll firm it up, but maybe first or second week of February, we're coming back down here. And we want 40 people. 40, you think, Mark? Or 140. We want a bunch of folks down there, don't we? We got some logistics to do. Jim Kraft, if he's listening, boy, he's probably scratching his head saying, what the heck? We're gonna figure out how to do it. So it's been so rich. It's just been so rich. We got a lot done. A lot of good stuff going on. A lot of good ministry going on. A lot of good fellowship going on. It's been good. It's been really good. So I throw that out there to all of you. Today's basically our last work day here, and then we're going to go out to eat on Roger Weaver. If he mans up and sends me the check, he said he would. So we're all going to go out and have us a big old. Hey, Roger, they didn't want steak. They wanted seafood. So we're going to go to this really fancy seafood, let these guys put their face in the middle of some shrimp or some whatever. So
I think that Long John Silver stuff is great.
Yeah. You know, I go to Long John Silver's and I get chicken. So
only best for the Hubble boys, you know.
Yep. Well, we're gonna feed him good. Terry Zeller had to leave yesterday. He was down. He came down from Mount Vernon, Ohio area, and he worked like a trooper, man. It's good to get to know Terry, and boy, he just kept his mouth shut and just ran that chainsaw, and it's been really, really good. So that's one thing. Don't forget, we're going to Gary. We can't update the calendar because Gary's here with me, and you know, a lot of stuff going on, So listen, I'm going to try to put as a target. I want you guys to think about this. I want to raise $20,000 for that first week of February because we may have to rent equipment. That's if we don't, if guys will come down and bring their own equipment, I want you to just everybody understand what's going on. I want to offer anybody who brings a piece of equipment down, I want to give them $1,000 rental of their equipment. That's the least we can do. The banging and everything that takes place on those tractors. Don never asks for a cent, but we try to help him get down here to rent a piece of equipment. It's probably $2,000 plus, Mark, a trailer, right? And something to pull the trailer. So anyway, we're going to try to raise $20,000 for that week's work down here and get 40 or 50 of us down on the ground and have good church camp for adults and really make it happen because it's really – Yeah, I wish I had some more video to show you. I want you to think about this, folks. It's been 2 months down here. Everybody's forgotten about it. It's an unbelievable disaster area. There are trees everywhere. I could take you a place where we worked yesterday. We cleaned out, we did a lot of work there. And I walked down, went to stretch my legs. I went for a walk about 100 yards down the street. And there sat a home. It was probably... There's Mark. I said, there was a home there. It was probably, I don't know, $400,000. Who knows what prices are down there? A nice home. And it was shuttered because there were about 4 trees on top of the roof. Different angles. Hey, guys, how do you get a tree off a roof? If it's just you, where you live, and 4 trees fall on your house, how do you get them off? Do you go get a chainsaw? The trees are so big in diameter, you can't even understand it, how big these things are. And these are everywhere, wherever you go, it's everywhere like that. So people can't, you know, they say, well, we got our insurance. Well, you got your insurance, but you still got trees on your house. Yeah, I know. We got to pay to have that done. Insurance doesn't pay to take the trees off. You want to say something, Mark? I feel you.
No, I mean, I'm just listening. It's an amazing amount of work down here, and I was going to mention that Mexico City is closed.
We ain't even been there.
They're not letting people back in. There's thousands of homes that are destroyed, and no one's allowed in there. So that's going to open up. They're going to rebuild that someday. Mm. So the guy that came down here from Canada, last time I was here, he was on his way down with his wife and knew we were here, and he called and wanted to come down. Well, he came down after we left and spent 2 days at the church. So he went home to Canada, and he called me and said, I want to come back in February. So he wants to help rebuild. Mm. So we need to find out if they're going to be building.
We may not even be there yet, right?
They're going to still be removing trees. I mean, these people are dug in under their tarps cleaning up, and they'll be doing that for months, I think. But Mexico City hasn't been touched. It's an entire town that's just destroyed. Mm. It's beyond comprehension. Some of the people who are here their first time, they feel the same way I do. Some of them were in tears with the devastation. It changes you because back home, if you associate this with your home, like Coach was saying, you'll be more prepared for it. You'll be hardened. You'll be like, well, this isn't as bad as Panama City. Some of those people down there, they lost it. You know, the guy told me next to the house we worked in, he said, when it was a Category 2, he's like, we've lived through those. He said, but, you know, this weather pattern steered that storm directly up through here. And he said, when it became 4, and then it became a 5, he said, we knew that we had made a wrong decision by not leaving. You know, and people tough it out. Their roofs get ripped off. Trees fall on them. They're worried about their wives. He said, it's the worst decision I made for my wife since being a man. Mm. He said, we should have left.
Now, folks, I want you to think about this. Tinfoil hat, I don't have one to put on. You won't convince these people that live down there that there wasn't weather manipulation. You won't convince them of that. We don't want to believe it. We want to call it a conspiracy theory and all that kind of stuff. But these guys who've lived down here their whole life said something crazy happened here. Right, Mark?
Amen.
Something crazy happened here, directed into two storms coming together. And so this thing is so deep and so thick. So we're going to figure out how to get down. And Mark's digging out something.
I'm going to send you all a video of a professor talking about the 150 geoengineering programs in the world. So I'll just shoot this onto the queue real quick.
Okay.
Let me get that done.
Okay. So we're not making this stuff up here. We're not making it up. And so let me just jump on this horse here for a second. I think we're on the wrong end of things. And I'm not going to ride this horse very long, but I think I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me well. The powers that be, we call them they are doing this and they are doing that. And they're just a nameless, faceless they. I don't know who they are, but there's a they. Okay. The kings of this earth, the kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. Those are the theys. And I don't know who they are. Some of it is just nature. Some of it is. But I realized something yesterday. Mark came up to me. Mark Trump came up to me and said, something bothering you today, Coach? He said, you seem kind of quiet. I said, no, nothing bothering me, Mark. I just can't stop thinking. And I said, you know what? They got us chasing our tails. Listen to me. They got us chasing our tails. They, whoever they are. Why don't you think about this? Let me back up a second. I love doing this part, this mercy ministry, but that is not the heart of Coach Dave. I want to go to abortion clinics and rescue babies. I want to go restore. I want to go do the prophetic. I want to go fight the devil on his turf. And you know what I saw yesterday? I'm glad I'm here. I invite you to come down here. But you know what I saw yesterday? We're just cleaning up the mess. And I'm not talking about the storm. We clean up the mess when we go to the abortion clinic. We're cleaning up the mess when we go to the gay pride parade. We're cleaning up the mess when we go beg our legislators to stop killing babies. We're just cleaning up the mess. And so we're down here. What are we doing? We're cleaning up the mess, believe it or not, from weather manipulation. We just clean up the mess. You see what goes on out in California, and they burn up through Beverly Hills and all up through there. What do? We go clean up the mess. We see our kids are being destroyed in public education. What do? We're just cleaning up the mess. They come in, they wreak havoc and chaos in every area of your life. Sorry, I got a frog today. Every area of your life. And what do Christians do? We clean up the mess. We just go clean up the mess. That's all we do. We look at our churches and what our churches have. We have church programs. What? Clean up the mess. Let's clean up the mess. We never, ever say, hey, who's making this mess? Who's making this mess? Stop making that mess. We don't. And so I could get Don Marshall over here, and he would tell you he worked for years and years and years and years and years as a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention doing disaster relief, cleaning up the mess. And you know what? Are you ready? You better hear me. There ain't one in 1,000 Baptists doing a damn thing about abortion. Why? Because they say, well, hey, I do disaster relief. That's my ministry. I do disaster relief. And so they keep the church occupied and broke doing what? Cleaning up the mess. Yes or no? Cleaning up the mess. We're just cleaning up the mess everywhere. When are we going to get proactive in getting out in front? When are we going to stop begging our legislatures, stop killing babies? When are we going to stop clean? When are we going to quit being janitors? That's my heart today. And that's what it is. And what we're doing here is good. And thousands of Southern Baptist people out there, maybe not now, but they run and do these disasters, don't they? And our schools are a mess. And there's filth in our on our televisions. There's filth in movies. We've lost our schools. Babies are being murdered. Families are being destroyed. And what do we do? Come to church and we'll clean up the mess. We never get ahead of the game. And so that's why I was pensive yesterday, because as we were out here cutting up trees, and I was watching all these guys with these chainsaws, and Don with his John Deere, and Tree Limb Jim, and the stuff that he's doing, and Craig with his skid steer, and I watch this organization, watch what we're doing, the good stuff we're getting done, and it's a drop in the, just a drop in the bucket about what needs to be done, and I'm looking around thinking, gee, California, hang with me, Port Arthur, California fires, North Carolina hurricane, floods here, hurricane, we just run around and clean up the mess. Somebody's got to turn off the spigot. Mark, somebody's got to stop this crap. And see, here's, you know why we can't stop this crap? Because, Coach, it's what the Bible says. It's just going to get worse. Well, if it's just going to get worse, then why are we out trying to make it better? Why don't we just sit back and let them blow up Panama Beach, Florida, and just say, well, it's... those poor people, but it's what the Bible said was going to happen. Why do we run and try to clean up the mess? If it's the Lord's will and it's just going to get messier, why do we go try to do anything about it? Just let's burn them ourselves. Let's help the Lord out here. Let's run around, start fires. Maybe we can speed up this thing. It's crazy. We're crazy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. And even when we identify areas where we just have a little bit of a mess now, and there are the efforts to try to keep the mess from getting bigger,
stop
the mess at the font, guess what? People don't even unite to do that. No, they wait until the mess gets bigger, and then they try to clean it up.
Somebody else will do it. I'm looking for somebody else, Larry. Somebody else will do it. Hey, listen, I got to go to my prayer meeting tonight, and we're going to pray for prosperity. We're going to pray for, we're just going to pray the Lord's going to move in America, and then we'll go home and live like he ain't going to move, and it's all going to blow up. We're sick. We're spiritually and mentally deranged.
Hey, can I pile on just a second longer?
Yeah.
And I tell you, I don't care who I make mad or who I make angry. You know what? We're trying to stop the mess of Islam from destroying the future of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We're trying to stop it before it gets worse and nip it in the bud before there's too much mess to clean up. And if people are upset because I keep beating that drum, well, then so be it. But I'm not stopping. I will step out of the way and let somebody else take over so somebody you like can lead the project up. Larry, I don't mind that a bit as long as the project gets done. But those of you sitting out there on your butts doing nothing, or those of you sitting out there and saying, yeah, I'll take a leadership position, then you never do anything in the way of leadership and join with the rest of us and get the work done. Get off your butts and let's get busy. Let's stop this mess before we have to clean up a bigger mess.
Amen, Larry.
Larry. The Lord's in control. The Lord's in control, Larry. Larry's right on. Is that right on? No, we want Muslims attacking us in every city in America, and then somebody's going to say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right? Yeah, right? Right?
Right.
I know I'm right. Because it was all over me yesterday, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and then that's what it was. We laugh at weather manipulation, say, oh, that ain't happening. That's a conspiracy theory. And we run and we clean it up. And what happens? Something else breaks out someplace else. And we run and we do. And see, folks, see it with the spirit eyes. The natural devastation is merely a physical appearance or a physical image of what's going on spiritually. That's all it is, man. You think the hurricane hit Panama City? You have any idea the hurricane inside the lives of people? You have any idea the problems? They're losing their kids. They're losing their jobs. They're just everything's being destroyed right out from under them. What's that, Vic? Golden Corral. Golden Corral. I went to take the guys out to Golden Corral, and they closed at 2:00. You ever heard that in your life? Golden Corral, the food buffet, closed at 2:00. Why? They don't have workers. They don't have any workers. What's that?
Tell them about Denny's. We
wait for an hour. Two hours. Yeah, I told them last night, yesterday. We were at Denny's for 2 hours to eat. Okay. Are y'all with me out there? You guys, are you feeling what I'm saying? Let's get on the other end of this thing. My mom said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, boys. An ounce of prevention. Listen, let's get ready. There's another one coming. Well, I want to get in front of it. Stop it. I'll open the door if anybody wants to walk in. Otherwise, I got someplace else I head. Come on in. Nobody knows what to say? All right. Sorry. It's all right with me. It's all right with me. Okay. Are you ready? Hey, Jared. Let's go there. Folks, Jared, play the first thing I sent you there. Here it is. Now listen, I'm going somewhere today. I'm going somewhere. They always give us a little bit of a heads up. The enemy always gives us those conspiracy theorists that talk about the Illuminati and the Masons and listen, the devil always tells you what he's doing. And I've been saying this, I don't know how long, 5 years maybe. Here was the anthem. Are you guys sitting down? Here's the anthem of where we are in America. It happened to us. They warned us of it, and we didn't understand it. All right? Here it is. This anthem sung in 1970. Was prophetic in that this is the culture and society today. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Hello, hello. Hello, is the mic on? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. A
above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Imagine there's no country.
No country. To kill or die for,
and no religion too,
and no religion too. Imagine all the people,
new world order,
living life in peace. You may say, I'm a dreamer.
Things of this world conspire.
But I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us.
Yeah, someday you'll join us.
And the world will live as one.
Imagine no possession.
Imagine no possession.
I wonder if he can.
I wonder if you can.
No greed.
No need for greed or hunger.
Just a fellowship of man.
A brotherhood of man. Imagine all.
Migrants in. Bring it in. Let's share it with them. Bring it all in there.
You may say, hey, I'm a dreamer.
I'm not the only one.
But I'm not the only one.
Oh, Lord.
I hope someday you'll join us.
We've joined us. There you go, Jared. You can stop. Did John Lennon, did the evil one speak through John Lennon and warn us of what was coming? And who would have believed in 1971 that we would be living that out here today? Somebody come in here. Doesn't anybody think that's profound other than me? Then I mean, that was, he laid out the game plan.
Well, those guys, all four of those guys went to India and studied under the Swamis. They imported all that satanic, you know, one yep. worldism,
yep.
you know, ascending through the various levels of illumination and wisdom. Totally counter Christian, totally counter to what Jesus told us.
Yep. Hey, Lord's in control, Lowell. The Lord's in control. What he told us was going to happen. We're sick.
Coach?
Yes.
When I first heard that song, I was in boot camp. And I couldn't believe it because he was talking about imagine no heaven, no hell. I said, oh, what a bunch of crap that is. But, you know, and I never really liked the song, ever.
Mm.
And I had to endure it again, so.
he was warning us, wasn't he? He was warning us, and we didn't get it. They're warning us today.
Do it that way then, as a warning, but as a slap in the face to everything that mm-hmm. I had known in my life to that point.
So, Jared, go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. I don't know whether you guys are bored or stunned, but it's awfully quiet out there today. Colossians 2. I was chewing on this all day yesterday. I couldn't get it out of me. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you is, and for them at Laodicea. What was Laodicea? They were hot. He wished they were either hot or cold, didn't he? And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, Paul says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and on all riches of the full assurance of the understanding. Wow, just to, how would you like to have the full assurance of the understanding? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Trump, you're missing something good here, man. The mystery. How about this? To acknowledge, oh my goodness, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. See, God's a mystery. Mystery. Mysterious things going on. Wow. And of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of the world. All the treasures of... Boys and girls, I'm feeling this deep. In whom to acknowledge of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. And you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk like you have, will you? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But beware, boys, lest John Lennon and those folks show up and spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Oh boy, have they crept in on us, huh? Have they crept in on us or not? For in him who Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is ahead of all principality and all power. I'm getting it, man. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this clear. I'm waist deep today. We have been so deceived and so mistaught and so not understanding what's going on. Okay, so I said, help me out here, Mr. Webster. Help me out here, Mr. Webster. You know where I'm heading, Jared. Get old Mr. Webster up there. Because I just saw some words in there. I said, oh, goodness, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Help me out here, Lord. I said, Lord, what's religion? What's religion, Lord? And religion is in its most comprehensive sense includes a belief in the being and perfections of God and the revelation of his will to man and man's obligation to obey his commands and a state of reward and punishment and in a man's accountability to God and all true godliness of piety of the life. Now, hang on. He's talking about Christianity. Mr. Webster is right here. Let's go to number two. Religion as distinct from theology is godliness or real piety in practice, consisting in the performance of all known duties to God. So what is religion? All known duties to God. That's religion. And to our fellow man, in obedience to divine command of from love to God and to law. Religion, verse 3, as distinct from virtue or a morality, consists in the performance of the duties we owe directly to, how about this, a God. To a God. Webster's writing about Christian God, but there are other gods. How do I know that, Vic? Because he told us, I'll have no other gods before me. And we read in Psalm 2 that there are what? The kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. So there are other gods. So what is religion in its most... Verse 4, Jared, number 4. Religion is any system of faith and worship. Any system of faith and worship. In this sense, religion comprehends the belief and worships of pagans and Mohammedans. Huh? What? It's just a belief in some power. any religion consisting in the belief of a superior power or powers governing the world, and in the worship of such powers, power or powers. Thus, we speak of the religion of the Turks or the Hindus, the Indians, the Christians, the humanists, taking over your schools, teaching your kids the religion of humanism, separation between the church and the state, right? Well, is there a church of humanism? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there sure is. There sure is. This is awesome, man, Vic. I've been feeling this in my bones all night. Huh?
Hallelujah.
We're so stupid. We're letting them tell us that only our religion can't be preached. Everything else, every other religion, every other God. Why do they want to censor only the Christian God? Is that something? Because there was only one redeemer of mankind, right? There was only one who, there was, oh, Lord. Somebody pop in here. I'm going to pop like a boil.
When you was playing that song, Coach, it reminded me how Lucifer uses music so much and disguises it and plays on the emotion to get into the minds and hearts of man. Because even John the Baptist got his head cut off clear back then because of a dance of music. So Satan uses that.
Hey, Denny, how about this? You guys sitting down? Pick your toes up, about to step on them. Huh? Most of you could sing that song right along with me. But you couldn't quote First John 3:8. Couldn't quote that, but you can sing Imagine. Can our kids quote the Bible? No, but they can say, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. It's good, Vic. Okay, Jared, let's go back to Mr. Webster. Rudiments of the world. Isn't that what it said? I'm telling you, this is free thought flowing here today. After the rudiments of the world. Didn't we just read that, Jared? See if you can pull that back up. I got Jared jumping all over the place. Isn't that what it said? Beware, lest any man spoil them. No, it's up higher, I think, Jared. I think it's 7. Beware lest any man, 8, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Jared, what's a rudiment? Oh, Vic, give me that. I'll get that in a second. Hang on. A rudiment is a first principle or element that which is to be first learned. So we're teaching our kids first the rudiments of the world. That's what we're teaching them, right? In school. Huh? As the rudiments of learning science, articulate sounds are the rudiments of language, letters or character are the rudiments of written philosophy, language, the primary rules of any art or science after its rudiments. Hence, instruction in the rudiments of any art or science constitutes the beginning of education. The rudiments are the origin of anything in its first form. Hey, boys, where did man come in his first form? Apes, monkeys, pond scum, rudiments. And Christian, we take our kids in preschool, Sunday school, and they draw pictures of little giraffes going on the ark. And Noah's dancing with an umbrella and all these little fables, right? And then they send them to school and they teach them the real rudiments. They teach them the real rudiments that your mommy and daddy been lying to you. Your mommy and daddy told you about Santa Claus. There ain't no Santa Claus. Your mommy and daddy told you about the Easter Bunny. There ain't no Easter Bunny. Your mommy and daddy, they taught you about the Tooth Fairy. There ain't no Tooth Fairy. Oh, really, you came from monkeys. All that religion stuff that your mommy and daddy taught you. Listen, let's undo that. Let's get into the rudiments of what really. Now, Vic, I'm not making. Isn't that what it said? After the rudiments of the world? Beware lest any man spoil your children through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of what the school teachers are telling them, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Doesn't it say that? And not after Christ. And they give us the planet of the apes. And we, this is, am I boring you guys out there? You guys are awfully, I haven't heard George say, coach, I haven't heard Chad say, I haven't heard anything. Are you guys out there?
Yes, yes. Hey, coach.
Yeah.
I'm just icing down my feet from all the toes you stepped on. So.
Dave, I think sometimes as you share, we get overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying?
This is overwhelming. I agree, Roger.
We're taking it in and you're just kind of taking it in as you share and others share. And it's kind of a spectrum of holy crap.
I'm with you, Roger. I'm with you. And Roger, I ain't done yet either. Go ahead.
So it's from holy crap to Lord come soon.
We
know that there's an in-between. We know it. We're awakened to it. But sometimes it's just taking it in.
Yeah. And processing it, right? My friend Vic looked up the word piety. Vic is going to read to us here. What is it, Vic?
The only part that I really like, it says piety is the only proper and adequate relief of decaying man.
Say that again, Vic.
Piety is the only proper and adequate relief of decaying man.
Decaying man. Rudiments of the world. They're teaching us the rudiments of the world. Imagine there's no heaven. Wonder if you can. No hell below us.
You know, huh? Coach,
Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, our Christian heritage is no longer in the lexicon of our language.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, you know, we've become so secular that...
Glenn, it's the only religion that is illegal to practice in America is Christianity. Go ahead.
I mean, even the Christians are afraid to speak up, okay? And you know, hey, listen, you know, here's a Christian singer, Lauren Daigle. They said, do you think homosexual is a sin? She says, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not God. I don't know. Hey, I got a new one. Let's get a big banner made. Legalize Jesus.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
What's happened basically is the homos have come out of the closet. Christians have gone into the closet and locked the door.
That's right.
And they haven't come out.
They got guards standing outside making sure you don't try to sneak out, right?
Exactly.
Go lag 13 or whatever that thing was. That's what's going on.
I
don't need that.
I wonder what all those people sitting in those satanic social clubs think lukewarm means.
Well, it ain't them, Larry. It ain't them because they go help with disasters. It isn't them. They go feed to the poor. That's what they do. That's what they do, Larry. I'm not making fun of you. I'm telling you, Trump nailed me yesterday. He says, Coach, you're awful quiet. I said, yeah, man, something's wrong. Hey, I'm by the way, still in Mr. Webster's neighborhood here, not Mr. Rogers. Let's go to Mr. Webster's neighborhood again, and let's look up philosophy. That would be a good one, wouldn't it? Because didn't it just say after the philosophy of men, the rudiments of the world, philosophies of men? Well, what do we get there, Jerry? We look up philosophy. Literally, the love of wisdom is what it says. But in modern acceptance, philosophy is a general term denoting an explanation of the reasons of things, or an investigation of the causes of all phenomena, both of mind and of matter. When applied to any particular department of knowledge, it denotes the collection of general laws or principles under which all the subordinate phenomena of facts related to that subject are comprehended. Thus, the branch of philosophy which treats of God, etc., is called theology. God is just, see, theology is just part of philosophy. It's just another form of a philosophy. We call it theology because it's talking about God. But if there isn't any God, well, we're not doing theology. We're doing natural philosophy. We're doing physical theology. Treats man, that which treats of man is called logic, ethics, or moral philosophy. But that which treats of the mind is called intellectual or mental philosophy or metaphysics. Now, boys and girls, is this it? Is this it or not? They're teaching us the philosophies of men. Apart from God. Look at this. Hey, look at number two. Hypotheses are system on which natural effects are explained. Hey, David Arthur, you're born that way. That's what explains why a man wants to mudpack his friend. He's born that way, David. That would be the philosophies of men after the rudiments of the world. Wouldn't that be it? Not after Christ. You guys picking up what I'm laying down? Are you getting this, Roger? You see what the heck they're doing to us? Can I tell you what else? They're not even teaching theology in church. They're teaching Christian philosophy. Your best life now. Revoice. Love everybody. Who are you to judge? Philosophy. Boom. You're right, David. Boom. Man, you guys are quiet today. Say, Coach, I'm quiet because this is blowing
up. Dave, I was just, you know, I mean, when you played that song, I don't know. I always come up with new lyrics. And one of them I thought, I said, imagine if there was no idiots coming up with songs like this. I mean, that's what I'm satisfied. I mean, you know, because it doesn't address the real problems. I mean, even when we got wound up earlier about all the stuff we're not doing. Well, see, all the stuff that's happening is because of sin, because we are absent of repentance as a country.
Chad, that's just a theological explanation. That's just part of philosophy. You're coming at it from a religious perspective. And Chad, by the way, we only talk about natural phenomenon here in America, right? So keep your religious theology aside. Sin, Satan, hell, Jesus. God, get that out of here. Come on, we want.
Well, I have people that, you know, that I work with. They say, "What religion are you?" And I said, "I ain't one. I serve Jesus. That's it.
That's right.
Whatever that is." But, and I'm not going to allow them or anybody else to paint me in a box. You know that I'm this or that. I can't dance. You know, or whatever. You know, I can't eat fish on Friday, or I have to eat fish on Friday, or whatever. Yeah. You know, that's ridiculous. I just, you know, that doesn't. You know, and how come the Vatican can have a wall around it, but the United States can't have one around it? How come Israel can have a wall, but we can't have one? Tell me that.
Well, vain philosophies of men. It's like I ran into another guy, an old friend the other day, a couple weeks ago was, ran into him, he said, Coach Dave, I hear you got religion.
Or is it Jesus?
I'm thinking, you dummy, you got one too. You just don't call it that. You got a God, your servant. It's you. Or it's football. Or it's marijuana. You're serving something, dude. You just haven't figured it out. A common set of rules and regulations by which you're serving him, but you're doing it. And what are we serving in churches? Now, wait a minute. Ooh, not what are we worshiping? What are we serving? What are we serving in our churches? What are we serving in our churches? Oh, I know who we're worshiping. We're worshiping the Lord. Well, why are we worshiping the Lord? Oh, because he loves us so much. He's just like us. He loves me. So I'm going to worship him because he worships me. This is good. This ought to go across America. Huh? I got a few more things I got to go to. I could stay right here on philosophy, but we can't right there yet, Jared. Hey, Jared, try this. Let's try to Google the word belief. Belief. What is belief, Jared? I wonder what that is. a persuasion of the truth, or an assent of mind to the truth of a declaration. Or Jared, number two, in theology, faith, or a firm persuasion of the truths of religion. Well, what is religion? The body of tenets held by the profession of faith. Five, the thing believed. Of belief. How about six? A creed, a form of summary of articles of faith, in the sense we the Apostles' Creed with Trump, which Trump wouldn't say. Why, he ain't a Christian. He wouldn't say the creed. I'm not done. Just the way my mind works. So, you guys, you ready for this one? Jared, type in atheism. By the way, it's impossible to be an atheist. An atheism is the disbelief of the existence of God or supreme intelligent being. Atheism is a ferocious, listen to this. Atheism is a ferocious system that leaves nothing above us to excite awe, nor around us to awaken tenderness. That's atheism. But see, listen, I hate to tell you this. Everybody believes something. What's that song, Jim? Got to serve somebody. Everybody's got to serve somebody. Who sang that? Anybody remember that?
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Everybody's got to serve somebody. Unfortunately, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Okay. Jared, how about, I hear this one a lot. Well, I'm not an atheist, coach. I'm an agnostic. What? I'm an agnostic. What did our friend Mr. Webster say about an agnostic? He says, huh, there ain't no such thing. Because that's a philosophy of men coming from, take the A off of there. Gnostic means knowledge. So an agnostic is without knowledge. I don't know and I don't care.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
That's just like what Mr. Miyagi said in The Karate Kid. You walk down the middle of the street, you get squashed like grape. And that's what happens with these people, and it's a lie. They say they don't believe in God, but they try so hard to fight it.
They do.
If you don't believe in something, then why are you worried about it? If it's the truth, then relax.
That's what I said. I was telling somebody yesterday. I said, why are we debating about evolution? Why are we debating about it? If it's true, why are we having a debate? If evolution's true, God's dead. But it isn't true. It's still a theory. But we let them teach the theory of evolution to our children. Oh, but not the theory of creation. Oh, no, no, no. That's religion. We want them to learn the rudiments of the world. Somebody say amen, because I'm nailing it today, boys. I'm nailing it. And so what's an agnostic? Well, how about this? Jared, look at right down in the middle. The Gnostics, are you ready? They formed for themselves a system of theology agreeable to the philosophy of Pythagoras and Plato, to which they accommodated their interpretation of Scripture. How about your best life now, purpose-driven life? Are those accommodated interpretations of Scripture? They held that all natures, intelligible, intellectual, and material are derived by successive emanations from the infinite foundation of deity. These emanations, they called eons. These doctrines were derived from the Oriental philosophy. So a Gnostic is pertaining to the Gnostics or their doctrine. Hey, boys. Most people you go to church with, they're Christian agnostics. They believe it, but they ain't really got anything that they really believe about it. Or very little understanding. I'm about done, although maybe this is why I was so pensive yesterday. Maybe I had this bubbling up inside of me, had to get it out. Maybe I did. Hey, Jared, how about humanism? Oh, see, this is where I wanted to head today. This is where I wanted to get to today, but I haven't had time to do it. What is humanism? Why, Vic, no results found in 1828? Humanism. How about a humanist, Jared? Humanist, is that in there? H-U-M-A-N-I. Oh, there's a humanist. What's a humanist? One versed in the knowledge of human nature. A professor of grammar and rhetoric. That's a humanist, isn't it? Is that what we got in the pulpits, huh? Professors of grammar and rhetoric? Boy, he is a good preacher.
You're nailing it, Coach.
I'm nailing it today, baby. It's been bubbling up inside of me. Phil, I've been eating curds and whey, whatever that means. I've been eating curds and whey.
You had about 10 mic drops today.
Boy, this one's worth listening to again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Vic won't leave him alone because here's what happens. When the Spirit gets to move, it inspires others. Are you feeling as you listen to this? The questions that then begin to come up in your mind, and then you got to Google it and check it out. And Vic looked up a humanist. He looked it up. Where is that, Vic? What are you using?
It says concerns with interest, needs, and welfare of humans.
Mm.
The newest flower on the vine of corporate humanism.
You mean to tell me that the whole border bashing that these people are trying to do, you tell me it's not based in humanism? We got to get these people over here because they deserve a better life, Vic. They deserve a better life, right? Well, their better life would be to come into Christ. And he told us to go to them. He didn't say bring them to us. He said, you go to them. You go to all the world and you teach them. You don't bring them in here. You don't bring them here because they're going to bring in the rudiments of the world when they come in here. Vain philosophies of men. Don't bring them in here. You go to them. And because we haven't done that, the Lord's bringing them to us.
Cultural intellectual movement, Renaissance, and emphasize secular concerns as a result of the rediscovery and study of literature, art, civilization of ancient Greece and Rome.
I can't get past one word. He said, this is what happens to me all the time. I didn't even hear what he said because he said one word and all of a sudden my head started spinning. Hey, Jared, secular. Type it in there. See what our friend, what's he say about it? Secular, pertaining to this present world or to things not spiritual or holy. What are they teaching in your school? Thank you very much. Relating to things not immediately or primarily respecting the soul, but the body. What are they teaching in your? You're born that way. If it feels good, do it. Giving our kids vaccinations in the second grade so that when they go out and sleep around, they don't get VDs, huh? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Secularism. The secular concerns of life, respect, making present vision for the support of life, the preservation of health, the temporal prosperity of men, of states, secular powers, that which superintends the governs and temporal affairs of men. Among Catholics, listen, let me go back and you ask me if this is not the religion of America. Are you ready? The religion of America is, Jared, secular power. No, go back up, Jared. Slide it up a little bit more. I'm sorry, right there. Pertaining to the present world, or to things not spiritual or holy, relating to things not immediately or primarily respecting the soul, but the body. Worldly. There's your American education system. Right there it is, boy. So they tell you that there's a separation between the church and the state? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No.
The separation of
church and state is because the secularists don't like the competition. It's a religion. Yes.
Well, I was just thinking, we've allowed that to happen because the Lord doesn't really differentiate between secular and it's all.
Of course.
And it's like, for example, like I'll give an example like music. Well, that's secular music. This is Christian music. Well, not necessarily. I mean, that's an example there. And it's like, we've allowed that to creep in, it's
because we don't understand. Are you ready? the destruction of the soul. Mm-hmm. See, your body's temporary. We cleaned out a cemetery yesterday. Trees fell in the cemetery. We went and cleaned out some of that cemetery. There are a lot of dead people laying there. You know what, Vic? They're dead. And all the weightlifting they did and all the pills they took to stay healthy and all the money they had to buy everything they wanted ain't worth a damn to them now, because they be dead. And unfortunately, we all be going dead. We all be going to the grave. But we are not teaching our children about that. Our government tax dollars are going to teach our kids the rudiments of the world. And you know where it ends up? In a grave. We'll see you tomorrow.